Beaming to you from the plastic microphone studios deep in the heart of Cajun country, this is Faith 5 from Fans. I'm your host, Jamie Ray, and I want to welcome you to episode number 126. Today, I've invited Jeremy Mann to zoom in to the plastic microphone studios to discuss our Faith 5 Star Wars toys. That's right, Star Wars toys. Jeremy was born across the pond in England and now lives in New Mexico. He grew up in South Carolina, and after high school, he joined the Army and was an MP, or military police, if you didn't watch the Reacher show, in the Army during the first Gulf War. After being discharged, he became an IT professional, which means computer guy, at a grocery store world working for Fleming Foods, nationwide. He was later commissioned in the New Mexico Army National Guard and became an air defense officer. He did this during the period of 9/11 and the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. So we thank you for your service, sir. He was then married and had a son and a daughter. Then he has been working for the, well, up to now, he's been working for the Air Force as an IT and a cybersecurity guy. He's also opened his own business as an exotic pet store and a reptile maybe if they needed CPR, and aquarium service provider. When does this guy sleep? How does he have time for this, even to do the show? Of course, he's also a comic collector and goes to as many comic conventions as possible, which is actually how we met. And with that, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to see you again.
It is. It's like, I feel like it's been months.
It has.
So before we get into anything, you've got something right above your head that is, what is that?
You're talking about this guy right here.
Yes.
Okay. It's kind of turned at a weird angle. There it is. That's kind of an airship that is a piece that would go into like a store that sells magic, and it puts on magic tournaments. So yeah, years ago now, they did a series of these airships, and they hung them up in the stores.
That is really cool.
I thought they were just the coolest thing, and I made sure I grabbed a bunch of them. So I've actually got three of them in my room.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, like that's awesome.
Two really big ones like that.
I thought it was a flying dirigible in some way, shape, or form. So
yeah, it is. It is kind of like a flying balloon.
Yeah, that's cool. And are they all three different?
All three are different.
Oh, that's cool, man. Such good toys.
I got into playing Magic the Gathering as well.
Oh, well, of course, with all your free extra time.
That's right.
So, Jeremy, tell us a little bit about yourself that maybe I didn't cover. And let's definitely talk about the family business of art, because I want everybody to know about that. And anything we need to know.
So, you know, for years, my interest was really in biology, and I ended up going to college for 3 years just working on my biology degree. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I got working in the computer field just at the right time, and I just couldn't stop. The jobs just got better and better, and I just realized that, you know, you might as well stick with the computer business. That's really where the money's going to be at. So in my spare time, I continued with the biology ambitions by breeding fish and breeding reptiles. You know, what was big during that time was the Crocodile Hunter and Animal Planet was coming online. And so I created a store that didn't sell cats and dogs, but only sold exotic things that people had a hard time finding. They had a hard time finding the right types of supplies. And that's why I did it. I got tired of trying to find supplies for myself. So I just decided, hey, I'm gonna open a store and a breeding facility. And that kind of led to me doing aquarium maintenance for other people. But I went to everything from, you know, restaurants and hotels. And I've even been to the zoo to help them.
That's awesome.
That's kind of where some of the passion is there. And of course, you know, earlier in life, I became a big collector of different things, you know, be it comics, be it Star Wars toys. And so, you know, that's kind of what led us down this path. Sure, we can talk Star Wars toys. I was there in the beginning when they first started coming out.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. And we also have to talk about of course, Rom the Space Knight. You have a major interest in that. That's how one of the ways we started talking. We were in line together, as a matter of fact, in Dallas, maybe.
Yeah, I think it happened like twice in a row, two different years.
So crazy.
And, and we were driving, both of us, a long way to get there. And it's like, you know, hey, if I'm just going to keep running into you at this show every year, then we might as well become friends.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so so where do people find your aquatics space there? Is it online?
I don't have anything set up online at this point. I'm really coming back from, I don't have a store going right now. I really took a break and I got rid of everything. I just kind of got burnt out because, working full time. And I really put a lot of my attention into building up my comic book collection, and going back to it. Once Stan Lee died, that's when I realized I've spent the last 10 or 15 years not going to comic conventions, not going to meeting the creators. And I needed to take a pause. And you know what? He's just going to be the first one. The dominoes are going to start falling one after another. Yeah. And I'm like, I need to go and meet these people and get them to sign books but before they're gone. And, you know, I got to see people like Neil Adams, you know, and you can just go on and on and on about the number of them that are gone now.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's kind of where that, you know,
came from. Okay.
Let's get and at the conventions that I saw, there was a lot of people signing. There was a lot of good people that I wanted to meet. And there's a lot of them that I actually became pretty good friends with.
Oh, that's awesome.
I see them over and over at different shows. And now I've introduced my kids to them.
Yeah.
And so, when we were at Heroes Con, you know, my son was eating lunch with Dave Dorman.
And
I'm a big fan of his because he did some of the best Star Wars. Covered and painted.
Yeah.
And so my daughter's now, you know, doing painting and working on, becoming the next cover artist. And she's only 16 right now. But I mean, she knows so many of the big professionals and become friends with people like Cully Hamner, Mike Zeck.
Mike's awesome.
Right. And, you know, Jim Shooter, and we just go on and on. Larry Hama, just all these different creators that I'm like, got a lot of respect for. We've been reading their stuff since I was, in high school. And now I'm passing it on to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, my son's collecting World's Finest. Got a complete run. Yeah, he is.
That's really an accomplishment.
Yeah, try to find somebody who's put a World's Finest run together.
Yeah,
He's getting close. I think he's within about 30 books now.
Wow,
completing that run, and that is so hard to find some of those books in the 50s.
Yeah, and that's probably high dollar stuff too.
Yes, and this is where we had such a good time at Heroes Con because there was so many good book dealers there. He was running into books that he had never seen in person yet.
Oh wow.
And he spent a lot of money, but he came out with a whole stack of books from the 40s and 50s.
That's awesome. Well, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that one of the reasons that those era books are so hard to find is because people were recycling them for paper drives. They were using them, to stuff mattresses and to use for insulation in houses. So it's really, I just saw a post the other day where a guy had a page from an early Superman, like in the 30s or 40s, series wise, that he was redoing an antique chair. And when he took the velvet off, that was one of the things that was in there. And I mean, it was all balled up, but he laid it all out and he's like, I'm framing this sucker. So it's cool. And so, tell us, why were you at Heroes Con last year? What were you doing?
So, well, number one, I'd always heard about Heroes Con and how great it was. Never did get the chance to go. Being in New Mexico, Heroes Con is a long trip, from here. It's 2 long days in the car.
Right.
And so Evie started doing a lot of fan art, and I was really kind of wanting her to continue with that. So I'm like, I'm going to take you to bigger and bigger conventions. So you can meet, you know, more artists. And we got to Heroes Con and I couldn't believe how good it was. It's just, I've been to a lot of conventions, but I've never been to a convention with over 300 comic creators in there.
Yeah. And no wrestlers, no anime voice actors. Not that there's anything wrong with those, but it was all comics all day long. You know? Right. Yeah.
That's the reason why we kept going back to that Dallas show where we kept running into each other. Cause that was the same way. It was only about the comics. Exactly. And it's hard to find those shows now.
Yeah. And so Evie set up on Instagram?
She is. So she is on Instagram and she is on YouTube.
Okay.
And she has her own website. It's artbyevieshop.com. Okay.
All right. Awesome. And we're going to have links to all of that later so that people can go and check out her art. I know that she's working on a comic book now, that's cool. When do you think you'll see publishing for that?
I am hoping to go to this Heroes Con with that book. That is kind of the goal. But because she is painting all of the pages and not doing it all digitally, so
she's painting every page.
She is painting every page. So the entire thing will be painted. It's taking longer to do, but I think the end result is going to be fantastic.
Yes. Well, reserve me one for sure, man, because I want one.
We'll definitely be sending you one.
Yeah. I mean, the girl did a magic print, so you know that she's got good taste.
She's done really good. There's so many things. She's never had any formal training, and yet there's so many things that she does right. So, you know, as I've collected comic art in the past, and I know what I'm looking for, and to see her become just so good at such a young age, I've got to keep you talking to comic professionals and get their opinions on, you know, should you go to college and do like graphic design? Should you go to an art school? We're even talking about the one in New York. The famous one. Dad did all the war books.
Kubert.
Yeah, the Kubert school.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard great things about that.
Yep. Oh, that's a fantastic school. Mm-hmm. But they only accept like 100 people a year.
Yeah. Wow.
You go to that school and everybody knows who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll. Wow. Well, good luck if it goes that route, man. I hope she gets in.
We'll see. You know, like I said, she's been talking to all the different creators and getting all the different angles. You know, some people never go to art school or college at all, and they just keep working it and until they break through.
Yeah, I have an artist friend of mine, Cody Chamberlain, who's worked in the industry for a while. He was a music major, but he had a talent for it. I think it is just like with Evie, what I've seen. Sometimes it's just a natural talent that just needs to be worked on versus having no talent and trying to learn the skill. So, and she's awesome, you know. So those two kids were very, very awesome. I got to meet them. Y'all are doing something right, I'll tell you.
We're having fun.
That's it. That's what you got to do. All right. Well, when we were at HubrisCons, we had this discussion and decided that we would talk about toys, and specifically Star Wars toys. And it doesn't have to be a toy that you had, but it could be one that you wanted or one that you did have and loved. And I asked you to make a list of your five favorites, and I gave you the opportunity to make some honorable mentions. So if you've never seen or listened to the show before, an honorable mention is something that was just couldn't get into that five. It was so hard, you had to leave it out. Or it could be something that's just really memorable or so bad it's good and you needed to put it on. Did you have some honorable mentions?
Yes, I did.
All right. So, well, I think if you're ready, let's go ahead and get started with it.
So the first honorable mention I've got, I wish I had one in my hands to show you, but every time I end up going to the conventions, I end up going and checking out the lightsabers. And I think it's one of the most famous things that came out of Star Wars. And it's just great that, like, through the years, you know, I remember the really terrible plastic ones that they came out with when the movies were out, and they were absolutely horrid.
for it.
But you go to conventions now, and the last one that I picked up was the Darksaber from The Mandalorian. And that new one, it was like $500 to buy this.
Wow.
And I came so close to putting down that money and going, this is like the coolest toy ever.
Right. That's a great one. And they came in different colors too, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
They just keep getting better and better with the sound effects and how they're lighting them up. And they are expensive toys. And there's plenty of us. Yes.
It only makes the noise when I do it. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a great one. Never mind. So do you have another one?
Yeah. So my second honorable mention has to be, because I do have plenty of them. And that is the Unleashed action figures that were put out, of course, much later on. But the amount of detail that went into these figures, these are still one of my favorite Star Wars figures, just because of they're so well made.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen those.
Oh, and I've got probably the whole line of these. They only did them for just a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But man, are they some nice action figures.
So they actually have articulation?
They don't have the articulation. I left all mine brand new in the packaging because I like the way that they did the packaging.
Yeah.
They were almost to me almost more of a statue than an action figure. But they were priced well. I think when mm-hmm. they were coming out, they were probably about $15.
Oh, wow.
But well sculpted, you know, well painted. So they deserve an honorable mention.
Yeah. So is that a Hutt Slayer or is that a Slave Leia?
That's a Slave Leia.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Well, we'll have to beat that out.
Yeah.
Man, those are some really good choices. It's just the two?
Just the two honorable mentions. All right. And then, of course, I got my top five.
Okay, awesome. Well, I am going to counter your honorable mention with my first honorable mention being the blow-up lightsabers.
Okay.
It was the same exact one. They first came out in 78 from the Sears Wish Book. You could get them. They were so bad that they would break so often that they actually put out a series afterwards with a set that was like, comes with repair kits.
Yeah,
but it didn't go on for very long. By 1980, they had come out with the Force lightsabers, which to go along with the Empire Strikes Back, and those were really, really cool. But you know, the inflatable saber was interesting because it had a flashlight in it, and you literally would have to blow it up. And I think at first it was only in yellow, and then it was later they put out a couple of other you could like pull them out and you could do the last Star Wars battle. I mean, you and I are really close to the same age, so I mean, those were the greatest things, but man, they broke all the time.
They did.
And it had a cool sticker, so you know, it was basically a flashlight with a sticker on it.
Right.
And my other honorable mention is going to be the Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back survival kit that you could get for 5 coupons from the back of the cards. And you would get 2 Hoth backpacks. You'd get the Yoda backpack for Luke when he's training in Dagobah, the Skywalker AT-AT grappling hook, and you'd get some assorted weapons. And then my favorite thing was going to be the asteroid gas masks. Those were so awesome because they were clear too. And so you would use those on all your different, you could recreate, you know, them in the asteroid, but you had to do it before May 31st, 1981. And I loved that. I played with that until the very end. That was P.O. Box 9438, St. Paul, Minnesota. Did you sign out, write off for those?
I don't remember doing any of those early mail-ins, and Star Wars did some of the best mail-in offers.
And of course, Boba Fett. Call it the Mandela effect or not, I could swear my first Boba Fett would launch, but they tell me it never got out. Now I know that I had a Cylon Raider ship that would shoot, but that was a model, but it got pulled later too.
You're right. But it was the same. It was the same thing, that shooting rocket.
That's it.
Different from that Boba Fett prototype.
Yeah, exactly. But those were my two. And I think if we're all good, then let's get ready to get into the real list of it. So give me your number five.
Okay. So number five is the famous Boba Fett Slave One. So. Still got an original Slave One.
That is cool.
Got my original Boba Fett with it.
That's the way to do it. Do you have your Han in carbonite?
I do.
Oh.
He was sitting in the back of there, and I took him out because I thought he would just fall on the floor when I picked the ship up. But yes, I do. And, you know, that's just one of those iconic things that came out of Star Wars that was just so good.
Yeah, I see the helmet up there over your left shoulder.
Oh, yeah, my Boba Fett helmet.
Uh-huh. That's a cool one. Yeah, he was such a great character for having so little screen time in the Empire.
Right. And
just one of those images where they saw right away, okay, we got to do more with him.
Absolutely. And,
you know, I mean, look.
And still are.
Still are, exactly. You know, even to today, it's crazy. No, that's a great one. So who else flies in Slave One? With Boba Fett, like when you were a kid, would any of the other?
I only ever put Boba Fett in there.
Oh, okay,
because it was his ship.
Yeah, yeah. I would just think, you know, maybe IG-88 or Bosk would, you know, catch a ride somewhere.
No, they were always rivals, so they would be fighting it out. Like they didn't like each other.
That's right. All right. Well, those are awesome. That's an awesome toy. Mine is a very much of an in-action toy. I am talking for my number five, the Star Wars Return of the Jedi Presto Magic Transfers.
Oh, now, okay.
You remember these? I actually still have some of these. It's still in the box from my original one. So you could get... Jabba's palace. You could get the Death Star where they have his fight with Vader. You could get the Sarlacc pit and the Ewok village, which I don't know that I ever did the Ewok village. But there were also, when I was doing this, I didn't know it, there was also super sets that you could get that were like, instead of that little paper that was maybe, you know, 5 inches across and would open up, they were huge. I never saw those until I was, you know, Googling. And it was kind of like playing with color forms, which I did a lot when I was a kid, but you could only play with it once. And so I don't know about you, but for me, I would do the whole scene the way I wanted to do it. And then I'd have what's left on the sheet and I would go and like put it on, you know, books or put it on a paper or whatever and make my own thing later on. I was just like, I was so cool, you know? But so did you did those?
Yeah, I do remember having those. And you just reminded me that I used to have the Play-Doh set too.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a long time since I thought about that, but that's what you kind of made me think of is like, oh yeah, that and the Play-Doh set.
That was the droids, right? A droid factory.
I'm trying to remember. It seemed like there was some different ones. It seemed like there was a Leia one that you could make Leia's.
Oh, okay, okay.
You could make, I can't remember all the characters. I was pretty young then.
Yeah,
When you had that. But I just remember playing with that. And you know, it was an easy way to make figures. They weren't quite as tall as your action figures, but you could make them out of Play-Doh.
That's cool. All right, well, let's bounce back and hear what your number four is going to be.
Okay, my number four. I just realized I didn't bring it down. But, again, with the iconic ships,
this
is a battle-damaged X-Wing. And, of course, you know, The X-Wing fighter was just such a classic.
The best. Ship.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody knows the X-Wing.
Yeah.
You know, I've still got a Luke pilot, I think, inside.
Wow. That's awesome. And R2 doesn't come out, right?
No, R2 doesn't come out on this. And I don't have batteries anymore because, you know, you don't want the batteries leaking in there. But this is one of those that, you know, had the electronic sounds. It would have the lasers. Yeah. And you could push R2 down and make it go into the full X-Wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I have to correct myself. That is the second best Star Wars ship. And
you're correct.
Yeah. We will get to that later. And I think we may not agree. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Okay.
All right. So my number four was a crazy toy that I just can't believe, even to this day, I still loved so much. But I'm talking about the original Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back Yoda action figure. The original one that I had the cloth robe and the little orange snake, and he had his little cane and stuff. And I specifically remember it because I had the mail-in action figure pack, and so I could put the backpack on Luke, and then Yoda could fit in the back of it. And quick story, when I was in that craze of Empire Strikes Back, my grandmother actually made me a pair of tan pants that looked like Luke's pants with pockets on the side and everything. So I was so cool. I would wear them, and me and Luke would be training together and stuff. So when it came up, I looked this up to see. I didn't know there were a bunch of different colors for them. They had different snakes, these, you know, and it is a very highly sought after figure, even to this day. Yeah. And his little belt, you know, it was all one piece, but he had like his little lightsaber on it. And we didn't even know how cool he would be with that lightsaber until so many years later.
Right.
But yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I definitely have that. Or I had the Empire Strikes Back one when it came out. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great one. Hours and hours of fun. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what is your number three favorite Star Wars toy?
So my number three, I don't have one here right now. I used to have numerous ones, and that is the Empire Strikes Back AT-AT. One of the best toys that they made. You know, it was a huge toy. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted one.
Yeah.
And
you had one then?
I didn't have one then. I ended up buying multiple ones years later.
Yeah.
So I bought original ones from people. I bought the new ones that were being remade, and they came out, and they were, of course, even better sculpted.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, we had a friend who lived down the street who had it. So we would bring all of our figures and recreate the Hoth battles and stuff with it.
Right. It was an expensive toy when it came
was.
Out.
Well, Steve had all of the good. He had the Micronaut. He had the Micronaut City, you know. Oh, hate that guy. not really. He'd let us play with all of it. So it was really cool. But no, that's a great toy. Didn't it actually come with like a driver?
Well, you had to buy him separately.
Oh, you did?
I know when they repackaged him later, they did come with AT-AT driver.
That could be what I'm thinking. Yeah. Well, no, that's a great one. So did you ever have it with the box?
I did, yes.
Yeah, that's cool because those got thrown away a lot. That's the box is what's hard to find.
Well, yes. You can say that about a lot of Star Wars toys.
Though, oh, my gosh. You know,
with boxes.
Yeah, so true. That makes it until Power of the Force, and then everybody was about saving them.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, my number three goes directly into my number four.
Okay.
I am talking about the freeze frame Power of the Force Empire Strikes Back Bespin Luke Skywalker figure.
Oh,
now,
okay.
This is the one that had the little slide in it that you could hold up to the light and see but the reason that this is my third favorite toy is because back in the 90s, Mark Hamill had a post office box. And if you would mail stuff with return postage Mark Hamill would sign it and send it back to you.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yes. And so I took two of those figures and sent them to him. And I kid you not, it was not even 2 months, maybe. Mm-hmm. And they came back in and he had signed it. How did he sign it? It's something like to a Jamie, a true Jedi. Oh man, it's still to this day is still one of my prized possessions. And I gave the other one to my buddy Chuck because we were always buying, you know, did that for each other. But he had that blue lightsaber, which was see-through, which was so cool. His blaster pistol and the favorite, the epitome of awesomeness, his detachable hand. You know, and it was just like, oh, it's what a great thing. And so again, that's been a cherished. That one never got opened. And like I said earlier, I had the pants. I was all about Luke. So that's got to be my number three.
Okay.
All right. So we are now at the point of the show where we are at your penultimate choice. And I have to use that word every show because I paid $5 for it. And I'm getting my money's worth. So what's your number two?
So my number two is this guy right here. So who?
Not familiar with it.
Oh yeah, the most epic ship ever made. Even with the detail inside, I still got my Jedi ball and my chess table. Just on my
pieces. Let the rookie win.
Yeah. But anyways, this is a complete Millennium Falcon.
Uh-huh.
With all the pieces that normally get lost.
Wow. Did you assemble it or did you buy it whole?
I bought this new in the box. Only the stickers had been applied to it.
Uh-huh.
But I've had it for years and years.
Wow. And
still the most awesome Star Wars ship to be made. You know, it's unbelievable how many of them were sold.
Mm-hmm. They've turned into action figure cases.
Right. And my sad story about this one is I had this one. This was an Empire Strikes Back in the box. And after I got married, my wife threw the box away. And I came in one day and I was like, you know, because she knew I was a big Star Wars fan. She even bought me Star Wars toys back then.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, what happened to my box to the Millennium Falcon? And she's all, I threw it away. She didn't understand the whole mint in the box thing. And I explained to her, you know, that box is worth more than the ship is. Like everybody's got three of these.
Yeah.
But nobody's got a box anymore.
And it was gone, I'm sure, by the time
it was gone. Mm. And he just did not realize that was going to be absolutely crushing.
Oh, God. No kidding. Oh. Okay. Wow. Well, I hate to follow you up on that sad story but I have got to say, I don't do this very much, but the most incredible ship in Star Wars is not the Millennium Falcon.
Okay.
It is the Rebel Armored Snowspeeder, which is my number two. Now, obviously, I know I'm really, really, really in the minority on this, but I always had an affinity. I had the one that came in the blue box, and that, you know, you could put the batteries in and the cannons would light up. It would make the battle sounds. And you had a big old string that you could use to wrap around an AT. Not very much though, because it wasn't, I think it was only like 2 feet long maybe. So you would catch it pretty good. But it was just, I loved that toy so much. I played with it all the time. We're leading up to my number one. And this toy had a very intricate part of my play with number one. So it always holds a special place in my heart. And I was so excited later on when the comics came out when we would see snow speeders on other planets, like in a jungle planet, and they were painted green and brown. And I was like, oh my God, it's not a snow speeder. It's a leaf speeder or whatever it would be called. And I always thought that was cool. And I got this close to buying it when they came out with the new ones. And I didn't, but I don't regret it because I bought other things since then, but gosh, darn it. Just get you right there. Yeah. All right. So we are now at our favorite toys from Star Wars. We've named some really good ones, but not one that holds the number one place in your heart. So
no.
If you're ready, I'm okay. Ready. Lay it on us. You have it?
I do. Oh. So, kind of like your power of the Force, this toy here. This is where I really started paying attention to how they sculpted these toys.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Darth Vader from an earlier series. I think it was Shadows of the Empire. So there is the toy that goes with Power of the Force. And if you look at the bottom corner of the cape, it's a hard thing to kind of see, but it is a different sculpted Darth Vader toy.
Really? So
what they did is they had Shadows of the Empire Darth Vader's ready, made, and then they went ahead and carted them. And wow. then when they ran out of them, they started using the new figure. And of course, this one has the hologram, so you know that was an earlier run as well, versus the non-hologram card. But this is when I started really paying attention to the different sculptors and what they were doing, and I started looking for lots of the variations on the toys.
That's really cool.
The Darth Vader one is actually a kind of a hard one to find. With the earlier one. The Shadows of the Empire, Darth Vader on a Power of the Force card.
Wow. So. See, it's amazing because I know they do so many different variations. And it's like, which is the one that you really, find? And the Star Trek Playmates toys are the same way. I mean, you'll find a figure that has orange accessories and another figure that has purple accessories, and that's the only difference. I know someone in California who she was collecting as many different variations as possible. Is it just the cape?
The cape is the real obvious when you're just looking when you're looking for the figure. I think there's probably some other really slight differences, but the cape is the most noticeable part.
Okay.
So as you're going through the figures and you're looking for one, I was always looking for, okay, does it have that corner? Wow. It's different. But
that's awesome.
That's what became fun with not just collecting Star Wars action figures, because there's plenty to collect.
Yeah.
But then when you start looking at all of the errors or variations to both the toy itself or the packaging, that's when it went to a whole nother level.
That's really cool. Wow. All right. Well, that's really, I didn't even know they went to that, much of a difference between them. Is that the only two variations that you know of that Darth Vader film?
No, because I'm trying to remember now. It's been a good while since I looked at this one. There might be a variation with the hologram. I don't know if you've ever seen the gold holograms that got released.
Oh, I probably didn't notice.
And there's just a few of them, but I'm trying to remember, but there might be a Vader. You know, I had to go start buying books on Star Wars toys to learn all of them.
Yeah. Wow. So, I have one of those. I'm sure I don't know which one it is, but I got to meet Dave Prowse and I had him sign it. Yeah. Yeah. Of course, you always saw it. Dave Prowse is Darth Vader. It's great.
Right.
Well, awesome. That was very cool, Ben.
Man, and that was a real tough one because I've still got one of my original Star Wars toys.
Wow.
It was really tough to not talk about this one just because it was one of the originals.
Yeah, no, let me see the back.
And you can see we ended up using the proof of purchase for one of them, for something that got mailed in.
But you didn't open it.
Yeah, well, I bought this one later.
Okay.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, I just got to have it. And then the proof of purchase is gone. I'm like, that's okay. It's still a carded original Walrus Man, and I'm impressed.
Oh no, I'm totally with you. But it's crazy to think that somebody back then bought it just to get the. They probably mailed away for the Empire Strikes Back accessory pack. Oh, right. Who knows? Okay, well, before we get to my number one, I do want to talk about one other toy that was. Okay. A favorite toy for playing Star Wars, and that was Legos.
Oh, so
if I didn't have a toy, if I didn't have a walker or the land speeder or whatever, I had Legos out the wazoo, like a 5-gallon bucket of them, because everybody gave you Legos for birthday and Christmas. So I can't tell you how many mismatched, miscolored snow feeder accessory landing pods and all of this different stuff that I would make for them. But the Legos always helped to accentuate and rise up my Star Wars play when I was a kid. And I couldn't go without the show without mentioning them. So I always did the Lego. So my number one is actually, I'm going to try to share my screen with you. And I'm going to show it to you here. Can you see this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this was published in Woman's Day magazine in November 20th, 1978. And you could mail away and get the plans to build this outer space station. And again, we didn't have the AT-ATs. I didn't have any of the big toys. You know, they were expensive. And so one year for Christmas, I don't think it was 78. I think it was the next year in 79. But Christmas rolled around and I had this. I mean, this thing was big. It was probably 4x4 or 4x6 feet. It was made out of particle board, and he had taken this design and had changed it up. So do you see these things over here? They're like the tall pyramid plastic pieces.
Right.
My mom worked at an ophthalmologist's office, and they used to have eyeglasses that would come in something that looked almost exactly like this. And he had gotten those. He had used a clear piece of tubing to go down the bottom. And over here, instead of having this part, he had built the garbage pit.
He
had taken a bunch of sponges of different colors and had cut them in there and made all of the trash. And I played with this thing. I played with it so much that he ended up taking it and putting it wheels on the bottom of it so that I could slide it under my bed and then pull it back out and play with it. I don't have any pictures of mine. I wish I did. But I've never seen
one of these.
Yeah, it was, you know, it had all these different things in it. Like this one here was just a piece of rubber, but you could turn a crank and you could put somebody on here. And of course, they were jerky, so they'd fall over. So most of the time I'd make them either in something. I mean, because I made, again, things from Legos or whatnot. This was do you remember when you used to could get the Pepsi bottles, the Coke bottles in plastic? And so that's what this was. They'd have the little piece that would pull off the back. And so he took it apart and put some, I don't know, some painted it or whatnot. I don't remember as a kid what it was, but it had all these stripes on it. And so you would just slide it up and down, you know, they would go from over here to up here, and then you could slide down a hole and it would come out the bottom. So this whole backside of it was cut like this, but you could stick your hand in the whole thing and you could move stuff around. And it was just, it was unbelievable as a kid that this was, nobody else had this. And I just absolutely loved it. So years later, when I was telling him about it one day, we went and went online and found out that you could buy them on eBay. So
yeah.
I bought one, and it came with the plans they put together. It didn't cost me much, maybe like $15. And we actually talked about maybe making one after he retired, but he passed away before we were able to do anything. But there's this amazing site that I'm going to tag y'all so people can go in. It's right here, and you can actually download the plans from there. And the site is co-edited by a guy named Ron Salvatore. And I made a note, he is not the guy who writes fantasy and Star Wars novels. So don't email him asking him why he killed Chewbacca. It's actually there on the website telling you that. And the cool thing is later on, I found out that the way my dad got all of this particle board is there was a furniture factory that was in Pineville, which was like the next town over. And so they would make cabinets, and they make it out of particle board. And when they cut and have scrap pieces left over, they put them in a bin. And my dad was going, stopping there after work every day looking for stuff until the guys asked him about it. And they told him what he was doing. They started saving the bigger pieces for him and not even throwing them in the garbage. So as an adult, to find out, you know, how much work he put into it just makes it, you know, all the more for me. And it was not a place just for Star Wars people, because you'd also get Jedi and Sith together, but the Micronauts would show up, Buck Rogers, which was a really, really fun toy for me to play with right around that same period. And of course, my Fisher Price people would gather up and play there. And so that was my number one favorite Star Wars toy.
Wow. Didn't expect that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very cool design. And if I had a kid who was of that age, I would so make one, because it brought me so much joy. But anyway, so that's my number one. And so that means we are at the bottom of our list. So okay. Did you have any big surprises? I'm really amazed with all of the toys out there that we actually matched. It matched on our honorable mention too, just right out the gate. That was cool. Can you think of some other stuff maybe that didn't make the list?
I was a really big fan of the B-Wing. We were talking about the different ships, and when you mentioned the snow speeder, I was like, oh man, I would pick the B-Wing over a snow speeder any day. It was just a cool design.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite ships. I couldn't get it on the list anywhere.
Did you ever get the little toys that were like the little Hoth gun, or the little, it was like one cloud car instead of two? I always thought those were really weird.
Oh yeah, those were like the mini rigs or something.
Mini rigs. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I never liked those.
I didn't either.
No. Yeah, I thought they were kind of a little bit weird.
Even at my age, I was like, yeah, they're really reaching to have us buy stuff with this.
There was a lot of the play sets, though, that were really cool. And I, you know, there's so many of those that we could have brought up. The Death Star was a good one.
Droid Factory.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
And we never even talked about like the Jawa Sandcrawler. Like that was
with a remote control.
Oh, and the one that Sears made, that was the remote control one.
Oh yeah. That's the thing that kids don't get today, is they don't get that JCPenney or the Sears wish book or the JCPenney gift book. And I can remember getting that and sitting there and just with a ballpoint pen, just, I want that and I want that and I want that. And I'll take this whole page. You know, I didn't get them, but oh my God, so long, you know, it was just real. And then just to go in the stores back then, and I don't know about you, but our Sears had like that outdoor whole area where that, like most of the year they would have the lawnmowers and all that stuff, but then they cleared all of that out and it became like a walking wish book. You could go in there and actually see. And I can remember like seeing a bunch of Millennium Falcons all in a line, you know.
Oh, but you're reminding me of when I would go down to Toys R Us. And of course, this was much later. This was more around the Power of the Force time. And did you ever see the 8-foot Millennium Falcons?
Yes,
that they put they in the Toys R Us. I almost bought one of those.
Really?
Because I really, really wanted it. I remember talking to the store. I'm like, what are you going to do with this when you're done with promotions? And they said, yeah, we're going to give them away. I think there was some stores that maybe like auctioned them off and gave the money to charity.
Uh-huh.
I remember having the chance to buy one and I wanted to pull the trigger on it. But what stopped me was, where am I going to put this thing? Yeah. If you've ever seen this thing up close, like it takes an entire room.
Yeah. that would be such a cool collectible though.
And I knew that at the time. And I still think that today that I'm like, man, if I had one, but where would I put the thing? Yeah. You know, it takes up so much space.
Yeah. Wow. That's
what really made me give up a lot of my Star Wars toys, because I used to collect all the 12-inch figures.
Mm-hmm.
I had about a full set of those, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I collected like all the ships, trying to get them all new in the package. It starts to take up so much space.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
And I still have hundreds and hundreds of figures, you know, and I've got them in star cases.
Oh, God, the room.
So it's both expensive, and the biggest problem is just storing everything. You know, especially when I'm still, you know, trying to breed snakes or trying to breed fish, and I'm standing up, you know, aquarium after aquarium.
Yeah.
I still got a huge comic collection. There's over 17,000 comics just in my personal collection.
Wow.
it's like, where do you store it all? You know?
Yeah. Wow. Put another a floor in the house.
Yeah.
Well, at least you live in an area with low humidity. So I guess you could store some of that stuff outside in closed containers and stuff.
Yeah, humidity is definitely not the problem here. The heat is actually the problem here. You know, it'll go over 100 degrees here. And you don't want
yellow. Yellow is the beast.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, man, this has been so much fun. I really appreciate you taking the time to put the list together and to actually show us the toys that you loved. It's funny that you know, I'm a huge Star Trek fan, but as a kid, it was all Star Wars. I can remember we had a place called Whittle's Toys that was an independently owned place. And after Star Wars came out, Darth Vader and R2-D2 came to the store and you could get their autograph and meet them. And I just remember he was huge. And R2-D2 was, you know, going around. And it was just, that was my world back then. And it's just some of the greatest memories. And I really appreciate you sharing that with me.
Yeah, I have a similar memory of the same thing here with a Darth Vader and a C-3PO and an R2-D2. And we have a Space Hall of Fame out here because there's a lot of equipment that NASA tested out here. So, we've got a NASA test facility out here. They tested like the moon rover out here. But I remember going to that Space Hall of Fame and getting to see those guys in costume. And of course, that was a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, it really blurred the line between what was real and what wasn't.
So. Right. But today we go to conventions and we see the people that have spent thousands of dollars building the costume and they're movie accurate. And I should say that I've got really good memories of going to some of the conventions around this area. And I have friends that are in Colorado and they build like Star Wars props. They build stuff for the movies. So they have original molds to the stormtrooper armor.
That's crazy.
They've built helmets that have been used like in Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett, and they have a movie accurate land speeder that they built out of two golf carts, and they have brought it out here to White Sands and have driven it around out here. And that you really cool guys.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, I know what you're talking about. I have three friends, Jeff, Nelson, and Mike, who are all in the 501st. And never realized, I mean, they are extremely stringent about what they bring in. And some of those costumes are amazing. And I can only imagine that those must be just one step up, man. That's crazy stuff.
I almost got into that. And I looked at building.
Because you have so much free time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Just another fair thing for me to do. But it takes about $5,000 to build an accurate Darth Vader. And what kind of stopped me from doing that is, man, if I do this, I am going to get invited to be at, like, especially charity type stuff, like, just endlessly.
Yeah. Yeah.
not that I wouldn't mind dressing up like Darth Vader every weekend, but it's another thing to try to, you know, I don't want to say no.
Right. I know the same thing. I had a Slave Leia costume like that. And I finally had to give it up because I just needed to get my free time back, you know? Plus there was that restraining order, but I don't really want to talk about that.
Well, it's what you choose.
That's right. So this is the part of the show where I tell you, what are we going to do next? What's going to be our next topic? Because I want you to come back on the show.
Oh, you want me to choose it?
Sure. Wow. Lay one on me. And if you don't have one right off the hand, that's okay. I'm thinking it might be comic related. I don't know.
We could go back to our original art discussion. I mean, we could talk about, hey, you know, what kind of pieces of original art or sketches have you collected through the years?
Okay.
You probably have some good stuff.
I have some stuff. Yes, I do. All right. That's what we're going to do then. I'm going to write that down. And I may get a couple of scans from Kirk's collection too. Because he's got some amazing stuff too. All right. Well, I have written it in pen, so that means we're going to do it.
Okay.
All right. Well, again, I want to thank you for being on the show. And I want to thank all of you out there in the podcast universe for listening to this episode of Fave 5 from Fans. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. And it's, you know, a free way that you really don't have to do much to help the show grow. And if you like it, maybe consider telling a friend. And if you don't like it, maybe think about telling that kid who's now an adult who had all the cool toys that you never got about the show, and maybe he'll hate it and then it'll ruin his day or not. But we'd also love for you to interact with us on Twitter/X at Fave5FromFans.com. New episodes come out every Friday, so be sure to subscribe and follow us. And look for us on, what is it called? Twitch? No, TikTok and YouTube. And don't forget about our other show, The Complete Disarray with Jamie Ray, where we take one topic and just ramble on and on about it. But in a really, really fun way, I promise. And remember, folks, it may not be the best. It may not be the most popular. But if it's your favorite, then it's good enough for us. Thank you for joining. Jeremy, take us out.
May the Force be with you always.
And also with you. Live long and prosper. See you next time.
Till next time.